Please rise if you are able, and let us sing our next Easter hymn. It is the Day of Resurrection. It is found on page number 226 of your red hymnal if you choose to follow along there.
That Christ has done and that we celebrate today, we now give ourselves, and a small part of that is our offering. So I invite the ushers forward to collect this morning's offering. Thank you. Dear Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. May out of the joy of our hearts, we give our very lives to you. And now may these offerings be used for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Besides the revelation of Easter morning that the tomb was empty and Jesus is alive, my other great revelation of the morning was how to get confirmands quiet. Some of the confirmands wanted to play a game with me, and it's called the quiet game. You've played that. Who can be quiet the longest? And I had a little bunny rabbit in my teaching arsenal this morning, and if whoever was quiet the longest would get the bunny rabbit. And I thought they could last 5 seconds based on their usual demeanor. And it like went on for minutes, and I was totally surprised. But then it quickly turned into how they were trying to make the person next to them say something. And so I ended the game. And for those 3 minutes, 4 minutes, it's the quietest the whole confirmation class has been all year long. They are energetic youth, energetic, and they enjoy one another's company. But for those 3 or 4 minutes, there was silence and there was stillness. And then one person, when I said, okay, we can talk now, one person thought I was just trying to get them to talk. And so they stayed quiet, and they were the last one out of the classroom that thought I was going to give the bunny to them. And now I'm in trouble. And I have to think about what to do with that young lady next Sunday to make it up to her that I didn't lie to them. But in that stillness, I asked them to be thinking about Easter. Stillness. Some people know that my tendency is to come into the church building a few hours before any worship service. And so even on a day when worship is not at 8, but it's at 7, I still come in early just to spend some time sitting in the sanctuary. And this morning, to turn all the lights on and sit in silence and stillness and look at the flowers. And I couldn't tell you, well, I can tell you what flowers are up here because I helped put the labels on them. But normally, all I could do is focus in on the colors that you shared during the children's message. And to look at the colors, and at that time, the cross is still draped in black. It still has INRI, King of the Jews. It still has the crown of thorns on top. And to see the flowers in that contrast, in the quietness of Easter, I hope you are able to find some quiet moments in your day today. Maybe you've already had those before young children woke up. Maybe you'll have that when everybody's napping after a full meal, or maybe when you're taking a walk, or maybe after others have gone home, or maybe when you're ready to climb into bed tonight. But to take those moments and sit in some stillness and to think about the contrast between Easter morning and Good Friday. It is a contrast that is meant to make us think and to reflect. It is meant to make us worship in joy of Jesus Christ overcoming death. And in contrast this morning, instead of focusing in on the Easter story of how the ladies went to the tomb, how the disciples went to the tomb, and what they experienced and shared, we have read the account of another part of Easter Day on the road to Emmaus. And it begins by saying, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. Two of them. Who were those two? pretty anonymous. I mean, we read in the account that one of them was named Cleopas, but this is the only place in Scripture that Cleopas is named. And the other disciple that was walking along, we know nothing about. They're anonymous. And I think that's a good thing. It's because we just have to take this account for what it is. The truth of Scripture revealing what is happening on Easter Day. Now those two, they were followers of Jesus, but they were not of the 11 disciples. And they were returning to their home after celebrating Passover in Jerusalem. They were returning and they had about a 7-mile walk to make. And in those 7 miles, they had plenty of time to talk about the events of what they experienced between the contrast of what happened on Friday, because they didn't call it Good Friday then, but the day of crucifixion, to what they experienced on the first day of the week. And they reviewed in verse 9, the women told them all these things to the 11 and all the others. So these two must have been part of the others. Sometimes in reading the Scriptures, we focus in on the 12 or the 11, but there were so many others that Jesus interacted with and Jesus touched. And the two men were talking about what had happened in those days. And then they were joined by a stranger. They didn't recognize who that stranger was. Scripture tells us that was Jesus. And the Scriptures say that they were kept from recognizing Jesus. And how can that be? It was Jesus. Later that night, the disciples would recognize him, so he had to look bodily form like Jesus, but they were kept from recognizing Jesus. And when they're kept from that, there's a point. There's a reason why, and that's coming at the end of the story. But those two men, walking along, we can understand that they were bewildered. They were confused, they were puzzled, they were baffled by everything that they had witnessed, everything that they heard rumbling around in their minds. They were trying to make sense of it. Because even though they had heard from the women and the disciples that the tomb was empty, there was still this sense that Jesus was gone. And they were downcast. And there was a sense of gloom that might have been with them. But they were kept from recognizing Jesus, a divine action that God kept them from recognizing in those moments until the proper time. That is a central thread in this narrative of Scripture, the non-recognition. And as they talked, Jesus simply asked, what things? What happened in Jerusalem? And the two could not believe how there could be anybody, because Jesus had joined them as they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. He must have been in Jerusalem. How could he not have heard? How could he have not witnessed? But Jesus gave the opportunity to the two men to recount everything that had happened. That Jesus was a prophet, and he was powerful in word and deed, and on through his arrest and through his trial, and how he was sentenced to death and even crucified. They reviewed that, and they shared how they had thought that that prophet, that Messiah, was going to redeem all of Israel. And then there was the morning, the third day, where the tomb was found empty, and there were sightings of angels. And they said that Jesus was alive. And after Jesus hears that, he responds to them a bit critically that they've missed some of the points. And Jesus goes back and from the Old Testament, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explains to them in greater detail what it all meant concerning himself. And still, they had no recognition this was Jesus talking to them. In those minutes, in those moments of quiet and stillness that you may have, and if you need to play that game with young children at your home, you can promise them one of an Easter bunny, because I have a few of them in my office. I reserve them from when I'm visiting young children in the hospital, and I told them that's the only way you get one of these. But if you play and you have a winner and you don't have anything to give them, see me a week from tomorrow. I'll be back in my office and I can give you an Easter bunny. But in those moments of stillness, imagine you are going one-on-one with Jesus. You're confused, you have questions, and Jesus is there to explain and to help you understand. To me, that would be amazing. That would be amazing. And then those three travelers, they arrived at the village, and the two wanted to invite Jesus to stay with them because they wanted to hear more. They wanted to know more. And in verse 30, when Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. In the giving of the bread, they were in Jerusalem. They had heard something about the Last Supper and the symbolism of faith of the broken body and the shed blood. And there was something in that symbol of faith that the eyes of those two were opened. And they recognized Jesus, and immediately he disappeared from their sight. Immediately. Why did he leave? Why didn't he finish the meal with them? Jesus had revealed enough. They had heard enough from Jesus that they could carry on. And they had walked those 7 miles, and it was at the end of the day, and they had sat down to eat that evening meal, but they had been moved so much, they turned right around and they walked those 7 miles back to the 11 and all the others. And that's our challenge. That when we have a revelation from God, when God has touched our heart, when God has opened up something, some truth in Scripture, when we have that great sense of God's forgiveness from what we have done, when we have seen somebody healed that wasn't supposed to be healed in that way, we have been touched by God Himself. And we should want to walk 7 miles to share that good news, to worship with others. Because that's what it means to be open to the inspiration of God. Those two, as they walked along, they were open to Jesus. In our worship on Easter, we're here because we are open to the leading and the grace of Jesus Christ. And we live in a world where Jesus calls us to be His lights to the world. By our words and by our deeds, may we glorify Him. Amen.
Please stand at this time if you are able, and we will sing our Easter hymn, He Lives. It is found on page number 220 in the red hymnal. We'll remain standing for the spoken benediction, and then our benediction and song will be by the All For Him Quartet. It is called Alive Forever. Amen. So let us sing, He Lives.
Hebrews 13:20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
The children sing a song of liberation. The God of our salvation set us free. Death, where is thy sting? The curse of sin is broken. The empty tomb stands open. Come and sing. He's alive, alive, alive. Hallelujah, alive. Praise and glory to the Lamb. Alive, alive, alive. Hallelujah, alive forever. Amen. Let my heart sing out for Christ, the one and only, so powerful and holy, rescued me. Death won't hurt me now, because he has redeemed me. No grave will ever keep me from my King. He's alive, 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 hallelujah, alive. And glory to the Lamb. Alive, 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 hallelujah, alive forever. Amen. I'm alive, 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 hallelujah, alive. Praise and glory to the Lamb. Alive, 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 hallelujah, alive forever. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance, let the people sing. Worthy is the mighty King. Alive, alive.